God's grace, His mercy, His peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well done on that hymn. It's a non-familiar tune, but the words I have always thought are absolutely fantastic. So, but well done on that. Now, this morning we deal with baptism, and it all begins with the baptism of Jesus. But it's a good time for us also to review and see what baptism, part that plays in our life. There's a lot of stories about baptism. One of my favorite has always been about Sam Houston, who was always a particular favorite of mine in history. All his life, Sam Houston was, he lived kind of a hard and rough life. His wife was a very dedicated Christian, Methodist, and she was always after Sam to turn to the Lord. Well, not until his later years did he do that. But when he did, he did. He went and talked to her pastor and said, I'd like you to be my pastor. And he said, what do I have to do to become part of this church? And the pastor said, you have to be baptized. Sam said, really? And the pastor explained to him about baptism. So they went down to the river that next day, down to the Brazos in Texas. And there Sam got ready to be baptized. And he said to the pastor, he said, now you're telling me that when you baptize me in this river, God is going to wash away all my sins, every one of them. The pastor said, absolutely. He said, every one of them, bad as they are, God's going to wash everyone away, Sam. Sam looked down at the water and said, God help the fish. But that's what baptism does. It washes away sin from the very start, even with a baby. Now, a baby's committed no overt sin. It's a child. It's a little baby. But you see, we're born with this disease called sin. That's why we do it. We're born being separated from God because of, blame Adam, blame Eve. They started it. And so God needs to bring us back. And he does through baptism. And it all starts with Jesus' baptism. Jesus comes down to the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. He joins all the other people coming out from the surrounding countryside. Now, in Matthew's gospel, John is rather taken back by this and said, wait a minute, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. I'm not even worthy to lace up your sandals. And Jesus says, no, let it be done to fulfill all righteousness. Now, that's an odd saying, to fulfill all righteousness. But what it means is that Jesus is establishing within the framework of salvation, the place of baptism in the lives of his people. He doesn't need to be baptized. We do. But by being baptized, he himself establishes for us what it means and what it gives to us. Now, baptism has always been at the heart of the Christian faith. It's a sign and a symbol, a reality, that a person belongs to Christ. We call it a sacrament. Now, that's a man-made word. It's a theological word. And it's meant to use, that word is meant to be used to separate baptism from all the other rites and rituals we do in the church. All the traditional ways of doing things are non-traditional. But it's meant to show that it is something special. Now, okay, back to catechism, people. Little lesson here today. How many sacraments do we Lutherans say there are? You can speak up. It's okay. How many? Two. And which are they? Baptism and Holy Communion. Right. Why do we only have two? Why not, like other denominations, why not confirmation? Why not marriage? Why not any of those? What makes baptism different that we would call it a sacrament? Pardon? Instituted by Christ. Okay, take that a little further. Commanded by God. Okay, commanded. Okay, what else makes a sacrament a sacrament? Uses earthly elements. Good. Good, Marty. You get a gold star for that. Uses earthly elements. Baptism, water. Communion, bread and wine. And one more thing denotes a sacrament as opposed to everything else. Any idea? Good. Who said that? John, you did. You're a pastor, John. You cheated. For the forgiveness of sins. Okay, those three things. That wasn't fair, John. But it's okay. Commanded by God. Use the visible elements for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so that leaves us with just communion and baptism. Only those fit all three criteria. Okay, baptism is a sacrament. And that means, as we define it in theology, it's what is called a means of grace. The way God brings to us his good gifts of salvation and redemption and puts them into our lives. You'd think then, with baptism being so important, that so many Christians would not take it so lightly. And yet many do. I'm sure every pastor can tell you the grief in their hearts when somebody comes and brings children to be baptized, and then you never see them again. Or if you do see them for a little while, they get confirmation where baptism is affirmed by that child getting confirmed, and then you never see them again. You'd think that people understanding what baptism is would take it more seriously and would hold it dear and treasure it. Because baptism, first of all, tells us that it is God who saved us. Now, it's not the water. You know, in all the different denominations, there's debates about how much water and how it should be used and what's the way baptism should be formed. That's not important. It doesn't say in Scripture. It's not the amount of water, because water is simply here a symbol and a means by which God does what he does. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter. Peter talks a lot about baptism. He says this water symbolizes baptism. He was talking there about the people who were saved, Noah and his family, in the ark during the days of the flood. It says this water symbolizes baptism that now also saves you. It is not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. In other words, forgiveness. God clears out the old slate. And this is in Colossians, all the handwriting that was against us, all the things we've done, said, undone, thought, God wipes them away. It's the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, it all begins in Jesus. With his baptism, with his death, with his resurrection, with his ascension, it all focuses on him. It's not the amount of water. It's like the story about an old mountain preacher who was baptizing converts one time at a revival meeting. And up stepped this old guy who said he wanted to be baptized too. Now, he was well known in the community, and he wasn't a favorite. Well, the preacher led this man down to the water, and he asked him a question. He said, "Now, is there any reason why baptism should not be administered to this man?" And after a pause, a very tall and powerful-looking man stepped up, and he said, "Preacher, I don't want to interfere in your business, but I want to say that this old sinner you've got here, one dip is not going to do him any good. You better anchor him in the deep water overnight." You know that's true for all of us? It's not the amount of water. If it was hope for water only, well, we need a whole lot more than what we have in a baptismal basin or even a river. It's not the water itself which saves us. It's the water through which God works his word and promise. Water in itself has no saving power. To be frank about it, neither does the strength of our belief. God is at work, not us. See, that's the thing we need to remember. With baptism, it's God doing it. God's grace poured out into our lives. The focus on baptism is not us. The focus is on God. Grace, as you know, and I like the euphemism for it, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is not something we earn, something we do, but it's simply something we receive. It's a gift. Baptism symbolizes a turning from sin. But it is God who does that, who delivers us from the power of Satan, from the power of hell, from the power of sin itself. It's God who does it. It's not the victory of our faith. It's the victory of God's mercy. And that's why when we come to Christian baptism, we come to it in humble submission to the Lord. It's God's grace freely given to you and me. It's not the amount of water. It's not where that water is. It's not whether it's just poured on our head or we're ducked into it. It's not our noble intentions. It is God acting out of total and complete self-giving love. It's God accepting us just as we are. Now, if you want a good comparison with this, a child in an orphanage who's adopted, that little baby, does nothing, and yet is adopted by parents into a loving family. Adoption papers are filled out. It's done and complete. So with us, we come as little children, whether as adults or babies, and we come and it's God who receives us into his family. The adoption paper is our baptism. And it is God working through that by his word. That's what saves us. And here's the second thing about baptism. It's God who calls us. It is God's free gift. And the whole purpose of that is to give you and me a whole new identity. Now the word baptized comes from a Greek word, baptizo. Okay, in the first century, it meant taking a light-colored garment and dipping it into dye. And once the fabric is dipped into that dye, it would be changed from its original color to its new color. Its identity would be totally different. The Greek term for that is baptizo. That's where we get our English word baptism. And Peter says that because of that. Peter talks a lot about baptism in his first letter. He said, once we were no people, but now we are God's people. That's what baptism does. It makes us from who we weren't into who we are. That's why Paul in Romans talks about how can we who have been baptized live willfully in sin any longer? We're new people. We've been given a whole new identity. We belong to God, and it's God who does it. You know, a lot of people will talk about being saved. And I've had people ask me, are you saved? Are you saved? You know what I prefer? Me, just me, I prefer to say, I'm baptized. See, saved gives this whole idea that I've done something or that I'm part of it. Baptism means rather that God has done it, that he's called me to be his own, and as Luther says, to live under him in his kingdom, and to live with all blessedness and joy that all that Christ has done is now mine. See, that's what it means too. When Jesus said, let me be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and Paul says we're baptized into Christ, that means everything that Christ has done, everything that God the Father said to him, you are my beloved Son, I'm well pleased with you. All that is now mine as well. There's a special word for that in theology. It's called imputed. It means what Jesus has done is the way God sees me too and the way he sees you. Think about that. The great mercy and love of God poured into our lives, the forgiveness, the hope, the joy, that's ours. And it's all because God has done it through baptism. And that means no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstance, no matter what our situation, whether young, old, or in between, God goes with us. See, we don't come to God trusting in our own abilities or merits, but we trust in God's gracious love for us in Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection, ours. And that means we don't live our Christian life trusting in our own ability. You know, I've talked to a lot of Christians that, you know, temptation's not a big worry. They don't worry about temptation because they're stronger than it. No, they're not. Remember what the Bible says? The devil is a roaring lion, prowls about, seeking whom he can devour. That's why for our Christian living, we depend on God and his love and his mercy that he gives us. And that's why when there's times of despair and trouble and doubt and problems, we look to God and we look to God through our baptism. Martin Luther, He used to fall into deep depressions. I suppose he had a right to, being as he was threatened with his very life for the most of his life after he turned to finding God in Romans and presented that to the people. Well, when he had fallen into these deep, dark depressions and this time of despair and doubt, he would go and he would stand in front of a mirror. And he'd say in Latin, Baptizitas sum, Baptizitas sum, which in English means, I have been baptized. I've been baptized. Because he took that as the sign, seal, promise, and affirmation that God was with him. And so it should be to you and me too. We're not alone in this world. Jesus heard those words from his Father when the Holy Spirit descended on him at his baptism. You are my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased. Well, guess what? God says the same thing to you. You're my beloved Son. You're my beloved daughter. With you I'm well pleased. Not because of what you've done, but because of what God has done. Let me close with a story about an old lady back in West Virginia. Her name was Grandma Richardson. When she was a young wife, she was sitting out on her porch one day, and she saw a group of men coming up towards her. It was a familiar sight because she lived in a coal town, and she was afraid of what it meant, and that's what it did mean. Her husband had been killed in a mine accident. Years passed, and they weren't easy years for her. She was admired by everyone in town because of her courage and because mostly her faith. She and her children attended church most every Sunday. And then one day down the road came another knock on her door. Her oldest son had been killed in another mine accident. Well, the years passed and Grandma Richardson grew older and older. In the spring and the summer when the weather was warm, she'd sit on her front porch in her rocking chair and she'd sing hymns, hymns of faith. And children would gather around her and she'd tell them Bible stories. And she'd share all that she knew about God. And then one day, finally, it happened again. Her oldest grandson was killed in another mine accident. And after the funeral, Grandma Richardson was sitting back on her porch again in her rocking chair and softly singing her hymns of faith. And the children came and gathered around her again, and one of them said, Grandma Richardson, aren't you sad today? She said, oh, I'm very sad. I'm so sad my heart's ready to break. It's so hard to say goodbye to someone you love, and I've had to do it 3 times. But I have to tell you, there's something more than sadness. And then she told them of her faith in Jesus. One of the kids said, can you give us some of that? And she said, children, I've been giving that to you all these years now. I've been telling you how God loves you and what Jesus has done. Now he's made that promise into a gift. And it's the most valuable gift in the world. And God has promised you no matter what happens, no matter where you are, good or bad things, joy or sorrow, he's there with you. One of the kids said, well, how can I know that, Grandma Richardson? And she said, because you've been baptized. And that's God's promise to each of you. It's God who does this. And through it, God calls us to be his very own people. And he gives us the absolute and total promise that he is with us. It's part and parcel of our life as a Christian, and it all starts and comes through baptism. We're new people. We're his people. He's done it. And so when you're faced with things that you don't understand, things that hurt to the very bottom of your heart, do like Grandma Richardson, remember your baptism. And do like Luther. I don't expect you to say it in Latin, but just look at yourself in the mirror and just remind yourself, baptismus sum, I am baptized, because all God's good gifts come with that. In his name, amen. And now his peace, which passes our understanding. Keep your hearts and minds by faith to eternal life. Amen.